Welcome to the Gut Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Hey, would you guys help me welcome my dearest friends, one of the best people on the planet, Pastor Jeff Perry to Gut Church tonight.
Hey, everybody. I want you to turn and tell the person next to you that you're happy they're sitting by you and not somewhere else. Could you tell them that? Say it if you mean it. You may be seated. God bless you, worship team. That was beautiful. I love the Shear family very much. I feel so grateful to get to spend some time here. We canceled a trip to Florida to just stay in Tulsa. Tulsa is Florida Central. And when you're in revival, that beats the sunshine and the ocean anytime. And God is doing something remarkable in this place. And the scripture came to me for you guys. So I'm going to start with this. I've got a teaching for you about readiness, about preparedness. Everybody say ready, set, on your mark, get set, one, two, three, ready, set, go. That's what I do with my grandkids, and it's torture to them. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul said to the Philippian church, and I feel this for guts, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Faithful is he who calls you, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he'll also bring it to pass. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. He's the Alpha and the Omega. What he starts, he doesn't drop midway. He sustains us. So he's the author and the perfecter or the finisher. Anybody, you know, you could go to a track meet, and you come out with all your clothes fresh out of the laundry. It still has, you know, laundry clean smell. It's nice and no wrinkles, no sweat, you know. And you're so excited about the starting gun. But there's really something to going all the way around until you get to the finish line. And God is interested in initiating stuff, but he brings it to fruition. He brings it to completion. And I want to tell you, you're God's workmanship, according to Ephesians 2:10, and that you, in fact, are created in Christ for essential and key good works, which he prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. And I want you to wrap your head around this. I actually want you to absorb this. I know you've had a long work day, you've been busy, a lot going on, but let's just trust God right now, just for a moment, 30 seconds. Father, I thank you for your presence, your love for us. What Jesus did to eradicate our sin condition, it's amazing. And that you would give us your precious word and your Holy Spirit. Father, I'm so grateful, and I don't ever want to be taking things for granted. So, Lord, we just thank you for this moment we're in right now. And the world's gone crazy. The darkness has waxed very dark. But you, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, said light would shine out of darkness. And God, I pray that this place would be so stirred and so prepared, we as individuals, this as a church body, us as families, on the job, when we travel, wherever we go, in between things, please help us not to underestimate the value of our obedience and help us to become sensitive to our moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes. Isaiah 60, verse 1. While they were singing, this was part of that last song. I didn't get a chance to write down the lyrics, but arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. but the Lord will rise upon you. The Lord will rise upon you. This is Isaiah prophesying to ancient Israel about their particular case, and it's a message to the glorified Zion. Well, we also know that the church is referenced as Zion. So in history, in the correct biblical interpretation of this, we must not ignore the context and the timing and who the people are. But I'll tell you that this is a pattern that God said light would shine out of darkness. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And what I love about this is something that Pastor Mike Hayes said in the Sunday service about the prototype nature of this environment you're in. Nations will come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. So this is what's happening around here. This is what God's preparing us for. Aren't you excited about it? Sometimes it's not exciting. Preparation is not exciting. But preparation precedes advancement. And when you and I, if we work out in the gym, we'll have all the energy, guys, that when our wives come in with a whole trunk load of groceries in the plastic bags, we could carry them in one run. Right? Isn't that why we work out at the gym? So we could have that moment to impress our wives as we carry all this stuff in. Well, I want to tell you, you're being prepared for certain things. God is making you ready for certain things. And I'm not here to hype you up, you know, or we don't need a bunch of extra sort of excitability. We just actually need to realize there are people out there that need what we have. And that I'm actually a product not of a Billy Graham crusade. I'm a product of personal evangelism. I was lost in Southern California in a secular home. And in the early 70s, society was in a similar cycle as it is now. And only, I think, worse, because there was a generation gap that was so strong. That's been healing in this end time hour. God's bringing a connection with fathers and the young. But I said, God, if you're real, please show me. And I was hitchhiking home from my restaurant job at 1 o'clock in the morning on a November, Southern California, the base of Mount Baldy between San Bernardino and Los Angeles, and a Vietnam vet in a 1962 Chevy Impala pulled up and gave me a ride 10 miles out of his way. And just the manner with which he did that, giving a sacrificial moment of service, opened up my heart. It's as though it qualified him to speak into my life. He was practicing what he was preaching. He was a Vietnam veteran. He had become a heroin addict. You know, that was the last round of the opioid addiction. It was terrible. It took a lot of people out. He was lost. He began to explain to me how Jesus changed his life. And I'm telling you, at first it went right over my head. But at least he was ready, everybody say ready, to share the gospel. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, to be ready in season and out of season. So he was 1 o'clock in the morning picking up a kid that smelled like seafood from the restaurant. I was a prep chef. And he told me he was ready to talk to me about Jesus. This is what it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It says, sanctify or set Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. God wants us to be ready, prepared. And that's what God has been doing on the day 89 of your 60-day revival here at Guts. He's tuning you in. He's fine-tuning you. He's preparing you for those kingdom purposes for which you have been set apart. And it's extraordinary, really, if you buy into what I'm telling you, because you'll begin to live in a way where God, even the seemingly insignificant things matter. You know, I had that job, and I was a prep chef and a sous chef. And I love that job because I was assigned to go in early and prepare the vegetables and the different ingredients for the menu of that particular restaurant. And I'd get there a couple hours early, and I would chop and chop and chop. I'm still, unfortunately, my wife found out that I know how to chop, so I'm the chopper in the house. So, but I love it. I used to get these stainless steel containers, and I'd fill them up with onions. I'd fill them up with cut celery, with carrots and things like that. Have it all set up so that when the restaurant got slammed, the chefs would have everything they need. And the girl prophesied in your meeting that you're about ready to get slammed. It's about ready. The doors are about ready to get open. The lost are about ready to come. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And the gross darkness is about as intensified as it was when I was a teenager and lost in Southern California. Guess what I did? I got desperate and I said, God, if you're real, show me. So I'm advocating about your preparedness, because there are people like me that are out there on the other side of knowing Jesus that need a credible, practical, authentic, vintage person like yourself with your particular gift mix, with your particular experiences. And if you recognize and understand redemption, you can realize that even the garbage that the enemy intended for harm, God's going to use and turn around for good. Take, for example, the guy that led me to the Lord, Vietnam veteran, ashamed of himself for the heroin addiction. He was shamed by the country, got a dishonorable discharge, which I think is terrible, and came back to a thankless country. And when he came back, he cheated on his wife, and his wife left him. He bought into the immorality of its time. Then he got into all kinds of Eastern religions. He said that was empty. But then he told me, Jesus changed my life. Everybody say, Jesus changed my life. Say it again. Jesus changed my life. Always being ready to give an account for the hope that is in you. Always ready, in season and out of season. And I'm going to tell you something. One of the gifts God gives us, and people like us, churches like Guts, is a lot of off-season time. You know, we've had a lot of projects. You guys are famous for some of the amazing, whatever you put your hand to, you do it full on. You know, the marvel of the nightmare, the motorcycle rallies, the concerts, the weekends, the ladies' breakfast, the men's meetings, all the things you do with excellence. And then we've come through this season, and you guys, your leadership has taken advantage of the season, because they're sensitive to realize that they've got a prophetic heads up, and God is getting you ready as an individual, getting your household ready as a household, getting you ready as a culture of a church for this next wave. When I was cutting those vegetables, I actually got into it as I realized this matters to the rest of what's going on tonight. If I slack off on my what seems to be an insignificant, low-paying job, if I drop the ball on this little deal, it's going to have a chain reaction. So this is what we've got to buy into. This is what happened with Gideon's army. There were 32,000 people that were getting ready to face off with the marauders that were stealing their grain, the Amalekites and the Midianites. But Gideon, you know, God said, hey, there are too many of you. So then 10,000 of them were fearful, and they stayed away. Then there were still 22,000, and God said, there are too many. So go by the water. And they went to dip into the water, and there was a test. And a bunch of them just leaned down, and they took their eyes off of the world around them and just kind of lapped it up. But there were 300 that stayed positioned, poised, and prepared. Everybody say positioned, poised, and prepared. And there was something about this 300 that would just have vigilance and alertness. They weren't paranoid. They were just watchful. And they were drinking the water like that, and God rendered it, and God said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get, then if there were too many, the glory would go to all kinds of gimmicks and techniques and methodologies. But no, I want it to for myself. The Lord is doing something in your time. He's doing something in your environment. He's doing something in your personal life right now. Whether you can sense it or not, whether it's tangible or not, makes no difference. I'm a touchy-feely kind of guy. And I'm really grateful to God that when I got saved, I didn't feel one bit of difference from the time I got saved. I've talked to other people, they felt like they were floating 10 inches off the ground, the colors changed, the hills were alive with the sound of music. That's wonderful, and I'm happy for their testimony. And I was bewildered by mine. I thought mine was kind of crummy. I thought mine was kind of substandard. It's like you saw different colors, you saw, you know, you floated, you felt the presence of God. I didn't. I just started wondering how many friends I was going to lose, you know, and I was kind of hoping I wasn't joining some cult, you know. But hallelujah, God knew what he was doing with me, and God knows what he's doing with you. And one of the things that's awesome about this environment is your pastors understand and underscore individuality. Cults are all uniform. You know, cults just kind of wear the same sweat clothes and Nikes, you know, while they're all doing their cultic thing. The kingdom of God, the Lord puts the banker next to the biker. And with the awareness that I need what you have and you need what I have. And it's like, it's a blessing of God that comes on the body. My liver is different from my lungs, which are different from my kidneys, which is different from my intestines, which is different from my feet. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you, that kind of thing. And so I want to tell you, if you're taking notes, you're being poised. I got three words while I was having lunch with your pastors today. Poised, positioned, and prepared. Poised, in the dictionary, means having a composed and self-assured manner. Having a composed and self-assured manner. We have composure. We have assurance. It's not the self-assurance that comes like a false confidence, human confidence. It's that same spirit of faith. And I want to tell you, the cure for everything is the new birth and a renewed mind. When you come to Jesus, he makes you brand new inside. And insecurity makes us act weird, right? I've seen people do stupid stuff with insecurity. But when you get confident in God and you realize how much he loves you, and then you develop a graceful and elegant bearing, dignity comes into your life. Balance comes into your life. And I think about poised. We were driving down Elm Street, down by 71st, and there are two little hotels there, and we were reminiscing, my wife and me, about the times we would come for special meetings, and we'd get in that inexpensive hotel, and there was a field behind there, and I would go in the back, and I'd prepare my heart by praying for the services. And I learned as a young Christian that I could go to church early, and I could spend time praying for my pastor. And he just sent me a text the other day. This is so many years ago, 40 years ago, that we would pray together and we would see so many outstanding things take place in the services. So I was praying out in the field, and I remember I was laying in this tall grass on my back looking up in the field, and a red-tailed Tulsa, Oklahoma hawk came flying right over me. And this red-tailed hawk was hovering over me, poised. And it thought I was a strange-looking rabbit or something, a wounded rabbit. And it was eyeing me, and it was. But what was cool, it was just catching the thermals, and it was hardly needing to flap its wings. It was just poised and ready, you know, just in case I was a dinner, you know, just in case I was a meal. And I thought about that whole thing about being poised. It's a readiness. It's the opposite of lethargy. It's the opposite of apathy. The Bible says in Proverbs, the complacency of fools shall destroy them. So we need to realize that apathy is not our friend. Mind-numbing, backing off, hesitancy is not our friend. Poised is not to be confused with any of those things. Poised is a composure, a security, a confidence, a graciousness. And the next one is positioned. And this is what I think is happening around here. There's positioning. It's to put or arrange something or someone in a particular place or way. And I think about preparation for surgery. When Haiti had the earthquake, we We had a team of surgeons that we rallied to go, and we found a hospital there. And the surgeon showed me all these things. They were fixing amputations. People had lost so many limbs, and they were fixing amputations. So he laid out all these titanium things and all this surgical gear, and he was packing it so we could ship it in there ahead so it would be ready. And then they set it up in the room. They sanitized the room, and these people came in. They had nursing staff. They had anesthesiologists, and then the surgeon came in, and everything was dialed in and lined up, because these people needed somebody that was poised and somebody that was positioned. And I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, I'm advocating for people that are lost, that are broken. Tulsa's a fantastic city. There's a high concentration of the blessing of the Lord here. There's a lot of heritage for prayer and a commitment and healthy churches and amazing dynamic things, good schools and so forth. There are a lot of lost people. There are a lot of people that are backslidden and detached. And oh, by the way, nations are going to come in. You're going to see people from all the nations that are going to come and be and want to be connected with this environment. So I think you're being made ready. My son-in-law, Steve, is a more reserved personality. And he said, a lot of times when I'm in a big crowd, I feel awkward. He said, of your church, I don't feel awkward. Even though they're a bunch of strangers and I don't know anybody, I don't feel awkward. That's a good, and he's not a flatterer, so he's making an observation point. He's letting me know there's something culturally going on. There's a composure, there's a balance, and you're being trained for it. That's the culture, that's the DNA of this church, and you're positioned for it. Now, your position, in order to promote, and this is what the dictionary says, a product, a service, or a business. Promote a product, a service, or a business. Well, we're in the business of obeying God. We're in the business of His kingdom. The product is salvation, the new birth, if you could take some liberty with that. And the service, the greatest in the kingdom, is a servant of all. This whole environment is set up to serve. When I was a sous chef, the whole goal of it was to make sure we were in the service industry, to make sure people had delicious, nutritious, wonderful meals. And in fact, there's something called the drift factor. And the reason why we need to go to church consistently and go to the Word of God personally consistently is because the drift factor. All we like sheep have gone astray. Our flesh, as long as we're alive, we've got to deal with and contend with flesh and its inclinations. And there's a battle against the flesh and the spirit. So if we sow to the spirit, we won't sow to the flesh. And if we walk in the spirit, we're not under the law. It's a wonderful thing. And we can. And God's word is spirit and it's life. And that's what's been happening here. And it's as though the management of the restaurant took photographic shots of the meals and put pictures of them right across from your station so you can keep your eyes on exactly where you put the mashed potatoes, where you put the meatloaf, and where you put the peas and corn. Because you just don't want to mix the peas and turn it around with the corn. You want to get it all straight, right? What God is doing, did you get that analogy? God is dialing you in. He's giving you patterns. He's getting you ready. Getting ready when somebody asks you, you ought to Google how to lead somebody to the Lord. John 3:16, the Romans Road. You ought to live as though, God, who do you want me to minister to today? Not if, but when. And whom? Help me to be led by the Holy Spirit. He'll show you where to sit at the restaurant. He'll show you which restaurant to go to. And to pray without ceasing. And to be positioned and ready to promote the gospel and advance the message of Jesus within a particular sector of the market or as a fulfillment of that sector's specific requirements. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Gross darkness will cover the earth. We see it. And people are wringing their hands and people are freaking out. Sociologists are assessing this and it's a grim review. Not so with us. because we already had biblical information and a heads up that this was going to happen. And we also know that light shines out of darkness. Daniel said light excels darkness. And this, I mean, arise, shine, you know. And this is what's beautiful about it. It says to portray or regard someone as a particular type or of person. Who are you? Remember when the guy said, who are you? And he said, I'm Batman. Remember that? Remember when Mr. Miyagi was teaching the Karate Kid, wax on, wax off? Remember that? And then what was the other one? It was something about a ladder or something. And he kept, and the guy couldn't, he didn't have any idea what he was preparing him for. And then he little knowing that he was going to spar, what was the bad guy's name? Johnny. Okay, yeah. So David didn't have a clue when his father Jesse in 1 Samuel 17 said, hey, get this food and take it to Eliab and your brothers in the battlefield. And he just is being a faithful shepherd. In fact, we know he's faithful because he delegated the sheep to someone, put him in charge that would take care of them. Did what his dad said, went in and he goes into this field. And we've been there. We were there last year before everything closed up. We were in Israel right when they were closing it up. And we were in this field. And what's beautiful about that field, where Saul and the army of Israel and the Philistines were over there, and David was by the brook where he took the smooth stones, none of it's been commercialized. A lot of the places in Israel have been commercialized with buildings and parking lots and, you know, parking lot lights. This is just like it must have been in the Bible. And it's so precious. You walk for a period of time and you turn around and there's the field. That's where the Philistines were. That's where Israel was. And there's where David met Goliath. But David had no clue when he was carrying those little items and just complying with his dad. When you're faithful in a small thing, he'll give you responsibility over great things. And there's a big, beautiful vinyl letters out in your foyer. And what does it say? What does it say? It says something very critical as a component of this house. Anybody read it or look at it? You know what I'm talking about? Here, somebody help me.
The way you do anything is the way you do everything.
Say it with me. The way you do anything is the way you do everything. The way you do the little things. I watched the surgeons before they met with these hundreds of people, brokenhearted people, missing limbs, crushed. We drove by a grave that had 67,000 people in it. The trauma of that particular moment. But you know, we went into Katrina for 2 years and rebuilt houses. But we had been prepared before that for something. God will give you a prophetic heads up if you'll listen. And if you get this, this could be a key to the next steps of your life in terms of success. If you're faithful in a small thing, just do it with excellence. What does the Bible say about our work? To do it heartily unto the Lord, right? You know, one scripture says, in all labor, there's profit. I talked to so many business owners. They said, it is so hard. We went to a restaurant the other day, a good restaurant. Great menu, great, beautiful color scheme. The menu's delicious. The management's really cool and responsive. They said, we just can't get workers. Nobody wants to work. So the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So we need to pray the Lord of the harvest will thrust forth laborers. And I feel when Pastor Bill asked me to speak, I said, well, I wanted to come hear you. And some of you, you know, you came to hear him, so you need to come next time because sorry, you know, that I horned in on the deal. But I'm not sorry because I feel like I knew what I had to share about being poised, about being positioned. And lastly, about being prepared. Being prepared. Everybody say, get ready. When I was a Boy Scout in the early 60s, one of the mottos was be prepared. And I took it seriously. And It's to be ready, be made ready for use. Ready to do or deal with something. Basically, to be prepared is to be so full of expectant hope that you live ready. You live ready instead of dull and apathetic. You live ready. You get up in the morning and say, instead of saying, "Good Lord, it's morning," you say, "Good morning, Lord." Instead of getting up and going, "Oh man, another drudgery day." No, it's like, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I mean, these musicians have worked. I looked over at this guy's effects pedals. I looked over at this drum kit. I listened to the harmonies. I watched how people have put the scriptures up on the screen, or the lyrics up on the screen. And I think they worked at this. This isn't something that just happened. They're not winging it. That's hours and hours and days and weeks and months of preparation. So some of you, there's somebody in here, you feel dull and like, pick your hand up and it just kind of drops and kind of brow through. You feel so sucker punched by life. I get it. But actually, what that did is it knocked out all the idealism out of you. So now what's left? Faith in God. So, well, I had some youthful exuberance and it's all leaked out. Now I'm just frumpy and old and grumpy. Well, no. Caleb was 85. On his 85th birthday, he stood at Hebron and he said, "Give me this mountain." I love that. He had a different spirit because he sought the Lord his God fully. And I sense that in here. Why would God motivate your pastors to say, "Let's have a revival"? Because as a leader, Pastor Sandy and Bill, they understand, hey, something, God's setting us up for something. While the world is going, what do we do now? What surfaces do we sanitize? How far do we stay away from each other? God's calling you to draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. And while everybody's going, "I feel weird now. I can't even read lips anymore. People are all looking at mouth. I couldn't even recognize." I heard somebody at a restaurant here yesterday say, "I didn't recognize you with your mask off." It's the end times, people. I'm Batman. Everybody say poised, positioned, prepared. What was John the Baptist's driving message? A voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight," right? And that is going to be, the Bible says, again, at the end time. It was at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, and that is, in fact, what's stirring right now. This is not hype. This isn't some sort of, "Man, I hope so." No, this is, the Lord of the harvest is looking for laborers who will just stand. Let's all stand up. Having done all to stand, you've had to stand. How many of you have fought the good fight, kept the faith, and you intend to finish your course? Who in here is interested in longevity? Get your hand up. Who in here is serious about hearing the big five, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Do you know that there are some things that please God? You want to know what they are? Faith pleases God. The love walk pleases God. "In this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." That pleases God. So let's stay ready. Put one hand on your heart, the other hand up toward heaven. Let's get ready to connect with God. If you're here tonight and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, do it now. Today's the day of salvation. It's no coincidence you're here. In case this is new to you, I want to urge you to call upon the name of the Lord. It's Jesus. And that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here and you say, "Man, I feel like I've been numb and apathetic. I need a fresh stirring. We've been in 89 days of a 60-day revival. I need some sparks and fire to shoot through me." If that's you, just keep your hand on your heart, your hand up toward heaven. I want to encourage you to be ready to walk in love. Tonight, if you have any bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, face off with it, deal thoroughly with it. All the hurts of the past, Keep your hand on your heart, hand up toward heaven. Hebrews 12:11 says, therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. I believe the Lord is bringing some healing tonight. Healing tonight in the name of Jesus. Healing in your heart. Be ready to resist the devil by fighting the good fight of faith. Rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Cast all your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. This is something Pastor Bill said to me accidentally one day through a text. I know it was intentional. He told me to be ready for fresh initiatives. Everybody say, I am ready for fresh initiatives. Learn how to identify and embrace God's ideas. Learn how, writing songs, praying prayers, naming your kids, being available to be a credible witness to your neighbor, you know, even the ones you don't like. And realize you're a carrier of the healing power of God. Bodies be healed. Minds be renewed. Look at somebody next to you and say, get over it. Look at somebody else and say, oh, grow up. Right? You good with that? Look at this person behind you and say, this message was for you. Get your elbow out and elbow whoever you wanted to elbow. Now lift up both hands toward the Lord. Say, I am poised, positioned, prepared, sanctified and made useful for the Master's work, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with joy, filled with love. Put your hands down. I want to finish with this. You may have a reticent, reserved personality, or you may be super exuberant. And there are all kinds of personality types within the church. You ought to just be like Paul the Apostle and say, well, I am what I am by the grace of God. Popeye even knew that. I am what I am, and that's all that I am. Right? So it's just like David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That my soul knows very well. There's so much intimidation. There's so much belittlement from the devil. In Revelation 12, the Greek word that defines him as the accuser of the brethren is kategoreo, which is where we get the word categorizer. The devil loves to put labels on you. Oh, you're this. Oh, you're that. In a dismissive way. But you need to learn. And you say, well, I don't want to get in pride and get puffed up. See, Christians, we know we're not supposed to be prideful, but did you know you're also not supposed to be insecure? They're close cousins. They're both flesh, because it's like, oh, I'm nothing without, you know, I'm nothing. It's like, well, no, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So you are something, but you're not all that. You're not God's gift to the entire universe, but you're a blessing. Tell the person that. No, I'm just kidding. So I come against insecurity. Insecurity gets you freaked out, comparing yourself with others. Learn how to just be comfortable in your skin. Throw your shoulders back. Lift your head up. Stand tall. In fact, I want you to get 3 inches taller right now. There you go. The whole church just elevated. We're in revival now. You just rose up, poised. Say, I don't know what it is, but God has something good for me. Right up ahead, his anointing, his word, he's going to lead me into great opportunities so that I could communicate in simple terms the good news in a crazy world. Turn around and high five somebody next to you. God bless you, God's church.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.